When a seafarer dies in unexplained circumstances on board ship, investigations are often a lot more difficult to carry out, and as a result, more cursory in nature. Mental Health Support Solutions is trying to change this. Hi, this is Marcus Hand, editor of Seatrade Maritime News, and today we're joined by Julia Opperman and Dr. Charles Watkins to discuss how crime investigation at sea can be improved with the help of criminal psychology, as well as other issues related to seafarer health. And today we're being joined by Mental Health Support Solutions. We've got Julia and Charles here. Could you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit briefly about the company? You know, for those of our listeners who might not be familiar with you.
Okay, I'll start. Yes, of course, my name is Julia and I am a clinical and forensic psychologist. And yeah, I am living in Cologne, Germany. And yeah, regarding my education, I did my bachelor's degree in normal clinical psychology, and later on, I specialized with my master in forensic psychology. And yeah, since 2022, I am a part of MHSS team. And yeah.
Hi, and hi everyone out there. I'm Charles Watkins, CEO and a clinical psychologist as well. I'm also a psychotherapist and a crisis counselor. So MHSS started about 5 years ago, and we specialized in helping people, and mainly seafarers in the maritime industry, with any type of mental health challenges and mental health issues. And we're now one of the biggest and most professional established providers in the industry.
And great. It's a really important issue, and I think one that's grown in prominence in the industry in recent times. And we've got a couple of different areas I'd like to discuss with you. And the first of those is that MHSS has launched a new forensic psychology service for marine investigations. And perhaps, Julia and Charles, you can tell us a bit about this and what prompted the company to set this up.
Yes, of course. So, yeah, sadly, we saw and we also know that there are many more cases where incident involving injuries or death or other crime cases at sea, they were not investigated that much. And I'm not talking about piracy or drug trafficking or something. I mean, when, let's say, one person died on board or something with legal consequences happened, we saw that these cases were not investigated and followed up in the same way when similar incidents happened on land. And yeah, this gap may be due to unclear responsibilities in the maritime sector when it comes to these incidents. And we would therefore like to support in finding out what really happened, for example, through credibility assessments of statements that someone made. And yeah, in the past, MHSS has already encountered such situations and has been actively engaged in cases where, the involvement of mental health professionals has been considered necessary to talk to the crew and to support the ongoing investigations, etc. And yeah, of course, investigations in the maritime environment, they are particularly challenging because of the limited resources and also because of the involvement of various parties, such as the shipping company, the management, P&I clubs, and often authorities of many different countries. And yeah, this complexity of these situations emphasizes the need for structured and regulated procedures to basically ensure a proper investigation and, yeah, most importantly, to avoid that something's overseen, that something is missed. And yeah, we basically want to combine the field of maritime psychology and forensic psychology in a professional manner. And yeah, also by combining these two areas of expertise, we also aim to gain a comprehensive understanding of the dynamics on board, which can help us in the next step to develop effective strategies that can help us to identify risk factors or like future prevention. This will not happen again, hopefully. And yeah, for this, we started developing processes and guidelines for forensic psychology in the maritime industry that, yeah, are of course aligned with the latest scientific evidence. And this means adapting existing procedures and investigations of the field of forensic psychology to the unique challenges of the maritime sector. So we basically tailor the existing strategies to the maritime industry.
Okay, it's quite a unique service. I don't think I've come across anything quite like this before in maritime. What sort of types of crimes or incidents are you actually investigating here? Could you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, so basically all cases where there are legal consequences, for example, presumed accidents or a death that maybe at first sight looks like a suicide, but perhaps wasn't, or when a crew member has reportedly made a mistake that costs the company a lot of money, but it is not clear whether it was really his or her fault or not, etc. And so this is not just about extreme cases of murder and homicide. It can be, but not necessarily. It can be a wide variety of cases in which our cooperation can come into question. And of course, we must always critically question our involvement. We have to ensure that we can maintain a neutral role and can also meet our ethical standards. For example, we cannot provide help if we are expected to investigate in a certain direction or if certain results are assumed. So in this respect, we work in the same way as forensic psychologists on land would do.
So you have to remain completely neutral, in other words. I thought it was interesting that you said that it's not, I kind of assumed that this would just be kind of extreme cases. And it's quite interesting that you mentioned that sort of things where things have perhaps gone wrong on a ship and who's at fault. So, have you had cases like that already?
There were cases like that already, yeah. But yeah, we've been asked if we can help. Like we had recently a case where something happened, a person did a mistake on board, and we were asked basically to talk to that person and see if the person knew, if it was on purpose, if it was some kind of revenge, just to find out the truth, what happened. Then, of course, there were cases of unclear death. Was it suicide? Was it some criminal case? Was it an accident? These kind of cases.
Yeah, I've certainly seen things where seafarers have sort of questioned about where it's been said it's suicide, and that's, you see on discussion groups amongst seafarers questions about whether it really was. So it's interesting that you're investigating into those areas. Obviously, you know, you're working offshore here. How does this work in practice, and how different is it from, say, conducting a similar investigation onshore?
Yes, it is very different. So one thing is basically the limited resources you have at sea. Because investigating at sea can impact the availability and accuracy of information. Also, the evidence here is clearly limited compared to how it would be on land. Then we don't have as many witnesses on board as we would have on land. They are not neutral, independent persons like you could have on land. For example, an accident happens on a street or in a building, there will be neutral witnesses, most likely. On a vessel, there's always some kind of, like if you have witnesses, there's always some kind of relationship or dependency, because it will most likely be a colleague, right? Also, if a person goes overboard, the chances of finding that person are incredibly low. And yeah, this of course makes the investigation much more difficult. And yeah, what's also different is the whole framework. So the whole framework here is not as clear as it is on land. You have to take into account the involvement of various authorities, and they might investigate independently. You have different contractors than on land. You have to be really careful that you don't end up in dual roles. and you most probably have to familiarize yourself spontaneously with certain local regulations or the regulations of the authorities involved. And yeah, you basically work on an international level here. And in some cases we will have the opportunity to speak to the people involved in person. In other cases, we will probably only be sent some evidence, like it happened in the past already, such as pictures of a crime scene or of a person who died, their room, etc. And then we would have to work from afar with what we have. So yeah, the work environment is very different dynamics, different basic conditions. You have to know how to talk to seafarers. You have to know where they come from. What else? There are also cultural aspects, of course, you have to have in mind. As let's say I am from Germany, as a German forensic psychologist practicing in Germany, you only have to work with Germans and handle Germans. But here we face many different nationalities and cultures, and that means that maybe we face something that is normal for some culture, but not normal for my culture. So we have to have that in mind. That's why we also have psychological consultants all over the world. They could maybe help us in that.
And if I may add, I'm not a specialist, so I'm going to refer to you, Julia. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I thought it was fascinating to find out. I was talking about this with Julia the other day when we were going through the process and the entire procedure for this. It turns out that on land, if someone is found dead somewhere in a city, be it Germany or somewhere else, then there is a thorough investigation of what happened. So there's definitely going to be, you know, medical expertise, psychological expertise, witness testimonies, all types of things, autopsy, to find out, you know, if there is any doubt that it was a natural cause, they're going to try to find out exactly what happened. And at sea, in the past, of the cases that we were part of, we didn't quite have the feeling it was as thorough. So there might be very different regulations when it comes to handling the body, what is allowed, what do they do, what don't they do. So again, there's limited evidence, there's limited resources, there are not as much possibilities to do these procedures like on land. And that, of course, requires us to develop a procedure that that still has a very accurate and thorough way of looking at it, considering the more limited data that we're going with.
So it's really quite a challenging environment in which to operate, and I mean, you're not necessarily actually in that environment either. Because the ship is at sea, obviously. So it's quite interesting how you know, the sort of challenges you're facing there, and that comparison with investigations on land.
100%, yeah. And we were speaking to one of our consultants, which kind of is helping us go through every little step of the process from a shipping owner perspective, so we can understand what are these steps and what are the authorities and how many bodies are involved. And it's interesting because in the procedure, there's also a part on Interpol and how they start their investigations, which we can imagine would happen with bigger events. Like if there are several deaths, and if there are kilos of illegal substances or drugs like cocaine found, then there certainly will be a larger investigation into this matter than if it's, unfortunately, if it's just a death, then the level of involvement of authorities might be a lot smaller. So that's also something that we were considering, which may happen in the future. So we might be on the vessel, Julia or her team may be on the vessel for big investigations like that. But then smaller investigations, we do have to work with pictures, videos, and interviews.
No, it's very interesting. Yeah, you know, with services like yours, that you've set up yourselves, do you see that we will, there will now be sort of a growth in sophistication into how these incidents are investigated at sea, rather than just being, as it has tended, I think there has been a bit of a tendency in the past to sort of say, oh, it was suicide, and it's kind of left at that.
That's at least what we hope. So it's really hard to make predictions about the future in this regard, but we do hope that this will be an impulse, at the very least, to really start looking at the entire process and making it better, making it more comprehensive, giving the seafarers the luxury to be looked at in the same way or similar than on land, with the same effort, with the same type of time. And time is a big issue too, because as you know, the vessel wants to leave. The authorities are pressed for time. You know, everyone's pressuring everyone because they want to roll back out. But there, we hope there is an understanding that will develop for the importance of this, and also for just proper due process, to give them, you know, what we think everyone deserves, a proper investigation and looking into what actually happened. So we can then, through that, remember we also are looking to implement preventive measures out of these investigations that will help minimize or decrease these events in the future.
That's also something we're hoping for by doing these or being part of these investigations. We hope to gain more insight into such cases. We will naturally get a chance to identify risk factors. We can then work on solutions to prevent such cases in the future. And yeah, this could be, for example, the installation of security cameras to monitor key areas on a vessel, or the implementation of certain safety protocols or regulations, maybe background checks of employees and so on. And yeah.
We're also, through this, we might be able to identify certain gaps in communication between bodies or authorities that we may be able to assist with and can help breach that gap by just supplying evidence or statements from forensic psychologists that will help the investigators then look at certain areas or focus on certain things that they may not have, because they might, in the past, they've may been working with very little evidence. But then, you know, if we implement this properly, they'll have more to go off when they go on. So it would make sense to fill that gap with by us identifying these shortcomings and then helping the entire process run more smoothly and even quicker. Because if we're doing work before the ship gets to port, before the authorities board, we could supply vital information that they can look at or they can focus on, which might even speed up the process.
That's interesting that you're actually going to be sort of there's preventative stuff that can come out of this, and you will be sharing this with the industry as well?
Yes, 100%. So this will be publicly available to everyone. We'll shout out about it because we want everyone to, you know, to have the to be able to implement these things. That's kind of why we're doing this whole thing, is really to give the entire industry a chance to upgrade these shortcomings and to look at the dark spots and to find practical solutions that aren't that difficult to do, but that have a big significance when it comes to looking at the future of these types of investigations.
That's what we are already doing with general mental health in the maritime industry. We want to take care that there's more awareness, and now we want to do the same with forensic investigations and safety. We are already very much committed to helping seafarers in many ways to improve their well-being, to improve their working conditions, their safety. And yeah, I think we can say we know the industry very well. We know their struggles, their challenges, common problems. And if this is something we can do additionally and help having better safety for seafarers, we would be happy to share this, of course. Yeah.
That's great. I think just one more question on the service, which is simply kind of, How and where would you get involved, and how would a client involve you in this type of service?
So this can be basically whoever asks us. So this can be P&I clubs, shipping companies, and as long we make sure that we are the right partner for this case, that we, like, this can be insured both ethically and professionally, then we want to help, yeah.
You touched there on the fact that obviously you deal with the industry as a whole, and seafarers and mental health, and wanted to take the opportunity that you tell our listeners a little bit what you see as the issues most facing seafarers in terms of mental health at the moment.
That's a very big question. So there's a lot to say about that. There's still a huge stigma around mental health. Seafarers are still afraid to reach out or speak up about these things. They're afraid that they might lose their job. Many seafarers are supporting their entire family, or some of them are even supporting entire villages with their salaries. And there's a big fear of speaking up about these things. And there's a huge cultural component. So in some cultures, it's normalized, to talk about mental health, but in many cultures, it's not. And that is a big issue, because with any type of injury, let me give you a practical example. If someone cuts their hand or their arm and they're bleeding, someone would attain to them and said, someone from the crew would say, "You're bleeding, go clean your wound and get a bandage and come back, it might get infected." That same level of care doesn't necessarily translate to mental health issues, because if someone changes and they're clearly different than they used to be, they're isolating, they're not speaking as much, they're not laughing as much, and people ask them, "Are you okay?" And they say, "Yeah, I'm fine." They're like, "Oh, okay." And that's it. So there's, it's more difficult to get other people to help their friends, their mates, their crew. But it's also difficult for people to speak out for themselves when they're having this, because it's fearful. People are afraid of it. Things you don't know, they scare you. So it's natural to be hesitant. And that is, I think, one of the main components that we're always trying to work on. We're trying to create more awareness, normalizing mental health for everyone, normalizing anxiety and depression, normalizing that everyone has good and bad days. And it's not black or white. It's not about you're sane or you're insane. It's about that huge gray area that people are not sure when to talk about it and when not to talk about, because it may lead to them not being able to work in the industry. And unfortunately, in the past, the industry has blacklisted people that suffered from mental health or spoke up about it, right? Because the industry itself may also be afraid to let those seafarers back on board, because they don't quite understand, when is a person healthy? When is a person good enough to come back? So that is one of the main issues, I think, that we're facing and we see everywhere. But it's also nice to see that because we have so many different psychologists around the world, they're teaching us about cultural psychology, about beliefs in spirits, in spirituality, in ghosts, that resemble mental health issues, but have to be treated differently because they are in fact ingrained in that belief system or that religion or the way people deal with stress in a different way than we might. So that's another aspect that needs to be considered, to take away the fear of people witnessing and getting to know atypical behavior or symptoms at sea that may seem completely different to their own way of dealing with stress, but in fact is a normal way of processing, but needs to be seen in the cultural context and the way these people grew up. I think that's another aspect.
Okay, so that ability to actually say you're not, you feel okay to say you're not okay in many senses. Now, you mentioned that in the past, seafarers was being blacklisted for this sort of thing. Do you feel the industry is more aware of these issues and and mental health issues. Is there more that it can do?
Yes, yes. So there's more awareness. It's being normalized. We're doing a lot of work to do this. We go to conferences. We speak about this in public. When we talk to journalists, we always try to bring this aspect into it. We just had our first conference in Turkey, just about mental health for the maritime industry. And so all these small steps are kind of showing where this voyage is going, which I really like to see. It's a slow journey, don't get me wrong, but we're do seeing more awareness and more clients and more people coming to us and saying, hey, you know, we want to know more about this. We want to do a training about this. We want awareness. We want to create a better atmosphere on board for this. So yes, and we're also working on a side project that is going to be a holistic clinic, a holistic treatment facility for seafarers that suffer from any stress-related disorders that can't go back to work because of it. And we're kind of establishing a treatment plan that will help them get back to a place where they can go back and work either on the vessel or in the office. So that also is showing that the industry is interested in normalizing treatments for mental health and then allowing them to come back and work just like everyone else would from another injury they might sustain somewhere else. So that's, I think those all are positive points that we really, really appreciate in this case.
Yeah, it's great to hear about those developments. Just one more thing I'd like to ask you about before we wrap this up, and that is we've got this situation we found in the Red Sea since mid-November with ships being attacked by missiles. How does it impact the mental health of seafarers and actually their families that, you know, they're going to be transiting this area, and how can they be supported in this?
Well, you don't have to be an expert to kind of put on those shoes and kind of feel what it would feel like to be a seafarer in that region. So it's extremely dangerous. They're afraid. There's a continuous underlying anxiety that some people are more aware of than others, but it's always there because remember they're seeing the information we're seeing. They're seeing ships, commercial ships burning, drones attacking the vessels, and there's no real defense. Of course, they're going to be, depending on the seafarer, depending on how resilient they are and how they're able to deal with it, they're going to be uneasy, you know, at the very least. They're going to be afraid. There's going to be anxiety, and the families of these seafarers are going to be worried about them. And what we've seen in the past because we've been helping seafarers for a long time now over our helpline and also in person, the families play a huge role in how they feel. They're either a supportive entity, they're a huge resource, or you know, if they worry, the seafarer worries, right? Because it's one unit. You know, you care about the people you love, and of course, this creates even more stress. So, what we've been seeing is, depending on the seafarer, of course, depending on how they deal with it and how the families are affecting them, it's a huge issue because I read articles all the time, and it says we need, you know, they're seafarers are victims, they're innocent and they're being attacked, but no one's kind of looking at what exactly can we do. I read that 12% of the entire commercial fleet goes through the Red Sea, right, roundabout, and I mean, that's a huge amount of seafarers and vessels. And what I see is people saying, oh well, you know, they need safety, they need security, but they're not implementing anything. And to be honest, that's a very difficult question to answer. What can we implement? What can you do? Because there is this helplessness, there's this insecurity. You never know when it's going to happen. So how do we support the seafarers? From our perspective, what we can do from a mental health perspective is we can prepare them. We can create trainings. We can talk to them. They can reach out to us anytime when they're feeling anxious. But there's always the real threat that is there. And we can support them after an event like this, after something happens, if they have been attacked, we can then support them to stabilize them, to talk about what is normal after an event like this, normalize the symptoms they may be experiencing altogether, because these reactions to atypical events are pretty much universal. Everyone has them to a certain degree, you know? Some more, some less. But it's up to the industry to start thinking about real solutions to this so they don't have to either go through there or they have ways of defending themselves. And that's a bridge we can't cross. We're just hoping the industry will, you know, think about something they can do.
Yeah, completely understand that. But I think it's great that there are services out there like yourselves to at least provide that support in terms of both before and, you know, in the case of after an incident. And it's very interesting what you said about the family as well. It's been fascinating talking to both of yourselves today. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Sea Trade Maritime Podcast.